Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to mini episode 319 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have three spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from the 2nd of November 2023, and story number one comes from Rebecca. I wrote in a couple of years ago about my experiences, some of which mentioned incidents at a friend's house. My friend has since moved away, so I now stay the weekend, which involves overnight stays. And during one of these stays last year, I was sleeping upstairs on my own, and I heard somebody walk up the stairs and come into my room. I had my back to the room, and being the scaredy cat that I was at the time, I didn't turn around. However, I truly believed and felt that there was someone standing by the head of the bed and just staring at me before walking away. The only other people present were my friend's 4-year-old daughter and my very heavily pregnant with twins friend, who at the time was unable to walk up the stairs. During my latest weekend at my friend's house, while asleep, I had a dream where I woke up to my friend, her husband, their now 4-year-old and 9-month-old children, watching me sleep. And behind them, on the rocking chair in the room, was an older man, who I identified as the husband's dead father. When I actually awoke, I told my friend about the dream and described the father, who passed before she met her husband. The description I gave matched a photo on the wall behind where I was sitting, but with one minor difference. The man I saw in my dream was bald. When I mentioned he was bald to my friend, she told me her husband had a dream the same night whereby he dreamt he was bald. I'm not sure if it truly meant anything, but I can't help but feel like I had met the husband's father. This may all have been a coincidence, considering when I was heading to bed that night, her husband had mentioned to me that the rocking chair in the room where I slept belonged to his father, so I dreamt of him. However, I really paid no attention to the photo on the wall, so maybe it really was him. I have also possibly had an experience in my own new home earlier this month. I was in bed trying to sleep, but was unfortunately wide awake, when I felt the air in the room get very heavy, and somebody whispered, "Hello," into my ear. I turned around, trying to ignore it, but felt like someone was staring at me from the other side of the room. I'm not sure how or why, because I wouldn't open my eyes, but there was something about it that made me think it was a woman standing there. I love it when people are like, "I don't know why, I don't know how, but I just know it was a man," or "I know it was a woman," or "I know it was an older person." Like, you just get a feeling, like your body instinctively understands and knows and is able to pick up the vibes in that room or pick up the vibes from that entity. I love it. I think it's so fascinating. I wonder if it was the husband's deceased father who walked up the stairs and leaned over you. Maybe he was like, "Who's this?" and was just trying to figure out who you were. And then in your dream, you saw this same man because you were picking up on his energy somehow. It does sound like you are a nighttime beacon for spooky, ghostly things, though. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And story number two comes from Darren. I'm a native of Eastern North Carolina in the US, and I've lived most of my 6 decades here. The story is not my own, but that of my mother and her father. Granddaddy and Granny were tenant farmers in very rural Eastern North Carolina. They were living in a small wood frame farmhouse with a front porch that extended across the front of the house. My mom was an adolescent and her brother was a toddler. Granny was pregnant and expecting their third child. She had had some difficulty with the pregnancy and had been bedridden for a couple of weeks. The night she went into labour, since no doctor was available, a midwife was assisting her. The delivery was long and difficult. The midwife was devoted but was growing tired, and Granny was in a lot of pain. Granddaddy was tending my young uncle and my mom in the kitchen of the house. It was a warm night, and he had the wooden entry door open to allow the breeze to blow through the screen door. Granddaddy and Mom were sitting in straight back wooden chairs, my uncle on a blanket on the floor. Realising the seriousness of the situation in the bedroom, the children were quiet, and Granddaddy was sombre. He knew there was a possibility that neither mother nor child would make it through the night. Late into the night, the delivery process was nearing the end. At the moment the baby was fully delivered, my mom and granddaddy watched as a dog appeared outside the screen door and silently stepped halfway through the screen. He stood for what must have been a few seconds, then turned back to the front porch and disappeared. Granddaddy, who rarely spoke of this night, said that he knew that someone had passed away. The baby, a boy, had been delivered stillborn. My mom and granddaddy described the dog as being a small-framed, brindle dog, similar to a boxer. Granddaddy said that he thought the dog knew that the boy would need a companion for his journey. Granny recovered over the next few weeks. Mom and granddaddy are both gone now. I am very fortunate that I grew up in a family that believed in the tradition of storytelling. Some of the accounts were told with a bit or a lot of embellishment, but not this story. It was all shared with a type of reverence, a quietness, that helped the listener understand that it was a real event. Oh, that story has really, I don't know, struck a chord with me, and I'm not entirely sure why. Firstly, I just think that childbirth is a miracle, and I don't mean that in a religious sense. It just blows my mind every time a woman goes through pregnancy and delivers a baby. I just think it's phenomenal. It's astounding that women are able to do that. And back in those days, and you know, childbirth is still incredibly dangerous to this day, but back in those days, there often wasn't a doctor to assist anybody, and a midwife was often just a woman in the local area who maybe had a bit of experience with childbirth. And it just, every time a woman gave birth, it was just a question of, is she and the baby going to survive? And this story is desperately sad, but I think that it's beautiful that the conclusion that your granddad came to was, this dog is here to take this little boy on this journey to wherever he needed to go. And I'm glad, Darren, that you have continued this tradition of storytelling within your family and shared this story with us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And story number three comes from Chris. This series of events happened when me and my friends were 17 and first started driving. We lived in Lancashire, and where we live is surrounded by little villages and moorland. There is one village that for years I had driven through as a passenger, not really noticing much about it other than it had been abandoned and looked eerie at night. When me and my friend started driving and exploring the local roads, me and a friend had randomly driven through this area and had pulled over by the side of the road to look at something. While parked, my friend Scott randomly decided to take a picture of the creepy buildings around us. We looked at the picture and zoomed in to what looked like a man wearing a Victorian top hat, holding his arms in such a position to suggest that he was cradling a baby or a small child. We both looked at the third story window and couldn't see anything, It was a sunny day, and at the time, it didn't really feel creepy. The window had old-fashioned curtains, which, as we will come back to, always seemed to change position on return visits. Now, this little village is high up in the moors and a good 10 minutes drive in either direction to another village. This area had been developed back in 1872. A London bank cashier had a desire to build a children's home away from London in the countryside, where land was cheap and the idea of country living was good with its health benefits. This man was called Alfred and took this role as governor and his first wave children in the year of 1872 to create this children's home in the country. The village consisted of schools, a church, a bakery, hospital and accommodation for the children and houses for the staff. The children were forced to help build all of these buildings and infrastructure of roads, etc. Alfred even had a quarry where the children would work to provide stone for the buildings. During this time, the children were frightened of Alfred. But on his first trip back to London, the boys mutinied and went on a rampage. Alfred was called back and children were locked outside in a thunderstorm all night as punishment. There are tales of accidents in the quarry where multiple children died and are buried in mass graves on the site, among other incidents of abuse and torture. Now back in the modern day, we drove away from the village and, of course, showed all of our mates this image on the phone. We all decided to go back at night to have a laugh and see if anything would happen. And this was the start of many nights visiting the village. When we turned up at night, we left the cars on the main road and walked towards the building. It's already creepier at night seeing the moon lighting up a small kid's swing on the hilltop, just swinging in the breeze. I was scared to look into any windows in case I saw a figure that my friends didn't. That night, nothing major happened. It was just a scary series of old buildings that had been abandoned, still with all the kid possessions in situ. As we carried on coming up night after night, this changed. Weird events would start to happen. One night, three cars came up. We were all around the back of the building and all of our three car alarms went off and would not turn off with unlocking. We drove off and all three car alarms didn't turn off for a while after exiting the village. Another night, we were looking through the windows and a blackboard had the words "Help" written in chalk on it. None of us had noticed this, even though we'd all walked past the area multiple times other nights. There was also a strong smell of gas as we read this message. Another night we walked through the playground heading toward the main child's accommodation. One of my friends had three leaves blowing around his feet in a circular motion as he walked. He walked up to the glass, banged on the window saying, "Come out to play, little kids," and laughed. As he turned around to laugh at us, we all heard a massive bang on the glass upstairs and all of us ran off. There was another incident where we had the car headlights on, facing up a small path. As we walked up the path, the lights caused shadows of three of us on the ground. But there were four shadows. We looked behind us and nothing was there. We had gone up another night to take pictures on our phones and try and catch a figure. The phone we used suddenly had a burst of light from the screen and turned off. It had no power. And when it turned back on, when we left, all the photos from that night had been deleted. One night I didn't go up. A group of friends did, and one decided to climb up to a church window and look through. He jumped back down and went white, saying he'd seen a bunch of kids singing Ring of Roses all fall down in the church and he never went back. I went back a couple of times after this, and just more and more creepy bangs and events started happening, which started to put me off going, as I felt whatever was there was doing more and more to make us leave. We'd gone up one night, and a memory plaque had been erected showing a man dressed with a top hat and holding a baby as the image. Me and my friend, who had originally taken the picture of that window, were gobsmacked, and took that to be the man in the image. That night, we could see the main door to the building was very loosely locked. As we were curious to go into the building, we managed to push it open. On opening the large wooden double doors, we were presented with a large double wooden staircase going up to the first landing that was lit by the moonlight. Beyond this light was black, dark areas like I have never seen in my life. We all felt uneasy about going in, so we shut the door and decided it was a bad idea. After this, I really started to worry that whatever was there could come home with me, so I stopped going up. Now the whole village has been bought by a development company and has been turned into luxury flats and houses, and you'd struggle to see the creepy old village that it was. This is for sure, I wouldn't live there. Following this, my friend Scott's family home started to get the odd ghostly event occurring. His parents saw a young girl, thinking it was his little sister, walk into their room, followed by entering the ensuite. His dad got up shouting at her for waking them up, and he turned to look at the landing and could see his daughter still asleep in her bed. Other little events such as kitchen cupboards opening and a chocolate bar falling on the floor, and then the cupboard being shut again. I stayed there one night, and when going up the stairs I felt like someone was walking up closely behind me. Only one weird event happened at my parents' house following this. I was at home playing on my Xbox using gaming headphones. No one was in the house. But as I was playing, I saw my bedroom handle being pulled down and the door open slightly. Thinking my dad was home, as he'd often do this just to say that he was home, I still had the noise-cancelling headphones on and just said, "Hey, let me finish this online game and then I'll come and talk to you." Over a minute later, I took off my headphones and called out. No one replied. I looked outside and no cars were in the driveway, nor could anyone else have driven out of view in that time frame. Following this, I'd watch TV in my room. The TV was a touchscreen. The TV would start randomly changing channels, volume, or even input. Turns out the TV engineer came to take a look and found a faulty control panel which was causing this. Just goes to show, kids, that it's not always paranormal. Sometimes it's just a faulty control panel. When I listen to these stories of old hospitals, children's homes, residential centres, whatever it was, that kind of thing, I always think, like, I'm really fascinated by them because I think, firstly, 99.9% of these facilities are started with good intentions, right? Somebody goes, do you know what would be really good for these kids? To take them out of London into the countryside. It's much better for their health. Maybe it'll be better for them all around to be away from the city, etc. Where does it all go so wrong? I know in 1872 they had a different attitude to what would have been seen as, you know, difficult children or orphaned children. And one of the things that they would do is make them work, because, you know, work would be good for their character. It would make real men out of them. You know, all that kind of nonsense. Is it any wonder that these poor kids mutinied? I just think places like this would have such strong energy. If there is ever going to be places that are haunted, it's these kind of asylums, old hospitals, old children's homes, where people were abused, people were mistreated, people were meant to be sent there to be looked after, and then actually what happens is they get tortured. It totally makes sense to me that in places like that there would be like a residual energy. And it seems that that energy followed you guys home. I would love to know if there was any activity in your houses prior to going to this children's home, and if it sort of fizzled out. Like, did Scott and his family see the girl again, or did it just sort of fade out when you guys stopped going up there? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Rebecca, Darren and Chris for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from the 2nd of November 2023. And if you'd like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.